So now we have Matthew Cerrone calling in. Hello, Matthew Cerrone.
Speaking.
What's up? You're on the Brett Fishman Show. It's great to have you on. I was just speaking about the Jose Reyes stuff, and it's really good to have you on. I'm a huge fan of the blog. I check it out definitely every day, probably more than that.
Oh, well, don't tell your teachers that. Now, do you read the blog in school?
Maybe. I'm not going to give a definitive answer there.
Good answer.
All right, but a big topic of interest regarding the upcoming season so far has been how to deal with the prospects such as Jerry Mejia and Ike Davis and Fernando Martinez, Tolley. So it's been a big topic of debate whether to rush them in or to let them get more seasoning in the minors. So what's your stance on those guys?
Well, first off, this past Omar and I didn't trade them in the offseason, right? Like, everybody wanted, how come he didn't do this, how come he didn't do that? But, like, I think everybody should take a minute to just be thankful that they're still in the system, which has really been their plan all along. You know, they've been talking a lot about these guys for a good year, and it's great that, you know, you and I and other fans are getting a chance to see these kids in spring training. You know, obviously, Davis gives a little bit shorter of a leash to Daniel Murphy, or at least, you know, a shorter leash than he already had. And what is there not to like about Davis? Mejia is interesting because, you know, obviously the talk about whether to keep him in the roster now and be on in the bullpen or send him down to the minor leagues and continue his development as a starter. Everybody seems to have an opinion on this. I'm sure you do, and every Mets fan I know seems to. My take is on it, you know, I'm not a scout, and I have no idea which he best at. My concern is that they just don't jerk him around. You know, if they want him to be, if they, for whatever reason, think he should be the setup guy, future is a relief pitcher, then do it. Have a plan, do what's best for him. If they think he's going to be a starter someday, have that planted. So it's all about development with these kids, but I think it's exciting that they'll get to see them and, you know, give a little bit of faith in the future.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that you need to make sure, because in the past, it seems like we've been rushing these guys up too much, and they just haven't really turned out the way we hoped. So keeping them down in the minors, in my opinion, is what they should be doing for now until we're definitely sure that they're ready to make the leap. But Fernando Martinez, I'm not too sure that he should be sent down yet, because not only has he been having such a great spring training, but it's not like he hasn't been in the organization for several years.
Well, let me just real quick on Fernando. You know, I think it's important to realize that, you know, these guys, especially at 20 years old, you know, he's, you know, you need to still get into that rhythm. You still need to feel confident about your abilities. You know, he's doing great in spring training. He's not facing the best pitching in the world. And, you know, Carlos Beltran's going to be back eventually. So, you know, in the short term, it may be the better long-term play, actually, to let him keep on a roll in AAA and, you know, get some wind in his sails and feel good about what he's doing because, you know, somebody is going to get hurt. I mean, I hate to say it, but, I mean, there'll be an opening at some point, I'm sure. It'd be nice if this kid, you know, was in a nice groove and being consistent as opposed to sending him up to the big team, letting him play, then he's got to go back down. You know, what if he struggles when he's up? You know, it just might make more sense to just let him do his thing, but I do understand the temptation because he is having a heck of a spring.
All right, that makes a lot of sense. With the early notice that Beltran and Reyes would need to spend some time on the DL possibly, it seemed like shades of last year were crawling back. But with the recent news that Reyes would be back early, how much of a difference does having him in the lineup make?
Well, it's huge. I mean, just, you know, I'm up in New York, and I was talking to some friends that are down still in the locker room, and, you know, they're saying just seeing Reyes back, you know, you can see the impact that he has on the team just having him there. Like, he's not even playing. Just having him in the room, you know, makes a significant difference. Now, you know, that's there. Now, in the lineup, obviously, you know, he's irreplaceable, and certainly irreplaceable in the field. But to me, that was always the bigger concern. I think they can get by without him in the lineup. You know, long term, obviously, you need him to win. There's no question. But I think you can patchwork and get by. In the field, at short, you know, super important position, especially with the type of pitching they have. The thought of having him out of the lineup and replacing him with, or out of the field and replacing him at shortstop with Alex Cora, who is not even in the same league as Reyes defensively, you know, that always was a bigger concern to me. Hopefully he doesn't start the season on the DL. If for no other reason, I miss watching the guy play. Like, he's clearly my favorite player on the team. I love watching him do what he does, the excitement level and everything that he brings. Just make watching watching Mets games more entertaining. You know, wins and losses aside, I miss watching him do what he does, and he makes things more fun, and I miss that.
That's a great point. I was just talking before you came on about how, like, his huge impact. Whenever he starts a game off with a double or a stolen base, it just seems to pump energy into the team, and they always seem to take off from there. But I definitely agree that the lineup is probably our bright spot this year. But the bigger question is the starting pitching, and they didn't really go out and sign anyone. So do you think that was a mistake?
Time will tell, but it certainly wasn't for a lack of trying. I think they had their values. They marked people for what they were worth. You know, they didn't think Benji Molina was worth what he was asking. They didn't think Joel Pinheiro was necessarily worth what he was asking. Though I think I disagree with them on that. You know, John Lackey, to be honest, most teams didn't want to make the concessions that the Red Sox made in terms of Lackey's arm. You know, the Red Sox were the only team that stepped up and sidestepped some of the clauses and, you know, injury-type things that teams take to protect themselves. The Red Sox avoided all that because they wanted Lackey. Well, good for them, and hopefully it works out for them, but I can understand the Mets' point of view, and frankly, the Dodgers and the Angels didn't bring him back. You know, and other teams that had concerns about giving him that type of a contract. So I don't think it's necessarily that the Mets failed in that sense. I just think they identified the talent as what it was. Now, my concern is, you know, a guy like Jason Marquis, for instance, or Pinheiro, they kept comparing them to John Maine and Mike Pelfrey and Oliver Perez, and that's false. You know, really, we should be comparing them to Fernando Nieves and John Neese.
Right.
Because that's technically who they would have been replacing in the rotation. And I do think right now, looking at that starting rotation, I think it's impossible to argue that they would not be better off right now with one of those guys in the mix. You know, we'll see how it goes. Maybe all three of their in-house guys step up and take care of business. I have my doubts. I'm almost certain that you do and everybody else does. I mean, how can you not? But we'll see how it plays out. I do think they have the money and the talent in the farm system, excluding the guys we talked about. I do think they have other prospects, and they do have the flexibility and payroll to make a move, you know, whether it's in the next week or so or, you know, during the first half of the season or at the deadline. So, you know, I think they have options, and we'll see how it plays out.
Well, out of the three, who are you most concerned about? Because they've all been up and down. We've all seen shades of brilliance. We've all seen shades of struggle. But, you know, with Perez, in my opinion, you know what you're going to get. He's as likely as Yoan Santana to go out and throw a no-hitter. But he's as likely as anyone to go out and give up six runs in the first inning. So given that, who are you most concerned about out of Pelfrey, Maine, and Perez?
You know, I'll take that, Ollie. I'll go back to 2008 any day. You know, I can live with, you know, up and down Ollie. Just because at least, like you said, we know what to count on. Injured, head last season, Oliver Perez, that's not going to fly. But I'll go back to 2008 any day with him. Mike Pelfrey, I actually think, regressed last year. I know a lot of people feel that way. He doesn't feel that way. I've talked to him about it. But and that's understandable. But I think if you look at, you know, the fire that he walked through, you know, a lot of what the team had to deal with, the constant maneuvering behind him, different guys at different positions, no consistency on defense. I think when you factor all that stuff in with the type of pitcher he is, I actually think he did pretty well. You know, he did what he was supposed to do, hit ground balls, you know, do those things, but nobody was catching. So, you know, what are you going to do? I also think he's smart in maybe changing up his repertoire and how he relies on pitchers, which he's seen this spring, and I think that'll benefit him too. And he's growing. He's getting older, he's maturing, he's learning how to command an inning. I think he'll be fine. That leaves Maine. He's the one I worry most about. You know, I don't know what his story is, but honestly, I'm personally, as a fan, I'm tired of hearing his excuses every 5 days. I mean, it's always something. You know, he's always blaming some issue, something. You know, I don't know. Right now, I have a friend, my buddy Ted Berg, who works for SNY.TV. You know, he's convinced that Maine must be injured because he just doesn't look right. I mean, who knows? And that's the thing. It's always something. And never seem to get on track. Always one step behind, and that, I think, is what worries me most.
Yeah, I definitely agree, and the fact that they didn't go out and sign the pitcher, and money did seem to be an issue, so do you think it was wise to sign Jason Bay rather than distribute the money to other needs?
I do, actually, and that's exactly how I looked at it. You know, in I think early, right up to the winter meetings in December, I wrote a post on MetsBlog.com about how I think Plan B should actually be Plan A, which is that instead of spending that money on Bay, and a couple other, you know, smaller players. I would have gone with, you know, a larger crop of role players. Mark DeRosa, Jason Marquis, like we talked about, you know, those kind of guys who can kind of fill in and do the job that hasn't been being done the last few seasons. I mean, look, stars have not been the Mets' problem. They have stars. Their problem has been depth. And so to me, that was what needed to be filled in. Instead of going with, you know, bench guys as depth, I would have gone with players like Mark DeRosa. I liked the Catalanato signing. I don't think he's going to make the roster, which is a shame because I do think he kind of fills that role. Now, give me smart veterans on very short-term contracts with not a lot of commitment, which, A, gives them depth, but then also would have given them flexibility in the next couple offs. The big contracts are falling off, and it'll give them more flexibility to make real meaningful changes, you know, in the roster. But they didn't do that. They went for Bay. They needed to replace Delgado's bat. Understandable as well. I don't think they'll regret signing Jason Bay. I think he'll be fine. I just think they could have spent that money in other places that would have benefited the overall team and the overall goal a little bit better.
Well, you speak about depth, and the really one area where I think we have it is in the bullpen with the signing of Kiko Calero. I think that's such a brilliant signing because he was so good last year. I saw him pitch live. I went to a game in Florida, and they brought in Igarashi and Takahashi, Mejia. So there's so many guys who can make the bullpen. So who do you think is going to find their niche as the setup man, because there's so many options right now?
Well, yesterday Jerry Manuel, the manager of the team, talked about Fernando Nieves actually being being in contention for the setup guy. So that shows how all over the road they are with this decision. My guess is, as bad as he wants to identify somebody now, no bullpen ever ends the season like it starts. You know, there are constant changes. You know, I feel like every June or July we look up and there's some random team, whether it's the Padres or the Brewers or the Rockies, who suddenly, out of no place, have the best bullpen in the league. We're wondering, well, how did they get that guy and where did he come from? That's how bullpens work. So I feel like in March, to talk about, well, who's going to do what and how and what role, I mean, it's fun, and I understand why the team wants to do it. When they break camp, they want people to know what their jobs are, and I get that. But the reality is, whoever the setup man is in March probably is not going to be the setup man in September when hopefully they're in a pen race. So right now, while that's ahead, I think you can make an argument for Nieves, actually, oddly enough. If you look at his stats when he faces a batter, comes in a game clean, faces a batter first time, you know, I think there's arguments to be made there. It's not going to be Sean Green. It's obviously not going to be Bobby Parnell. I don't know about Mejia. You know, even if they bring Mejia, I don't think that'll be his job out of the gate. When you start whittling down possibilities, you're left with Calero, who's, I think, a great option. A guy like Nieves, maybe, or Takahashi. Who knows? But in either case, I think it's going to be potluck, and we'll see what happens in April, May. But my guess is, you know, whoever we're talking about now is not who we're talking about in September.
All right. Thanks once again so much for coming on the show. Last question. Rumors have been circling so often about the Mets and the Reds pairing up for a trade. So many names have been thrown around. There's pitchers, Gary Matthews Jr. And the latest talk has been centered around Matthews Jr. and possibly us acquiring either Harang or Arroyo or one of their starters. Do you think that would be a good move to try and get done before the season starts?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, like we talked about, you know, they definitely have a glaring need for that kind of a pitcher. You know, even if he's just quote unquote reliable.
Right.
You know, now I don't understand these talk. I talk to people in Cincinnati. I don't get any impression that the Reds are interested, but people with the Mets and people connected to other teams all see they are. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't. I can see six or four or five, maybe even six outfielders in Reds camp right now who are better than Gary Matthews Jr. And so I don't really understand what they're looking for, but. You know, that said, if they're interested, that's great. I don't see how a deal built around him for a guy like Bronson Arroyo or Aaron Harang. In the offseason, from what I understood, the Reds were shopping Harang more prominently, and basically what they were looking to do was pay a good portion of his contract in hopes of getting a better prospect from your team. That was a deal the Mets weren't interested in, obviously. Nor was any other team, for that matter. I think the Dodgers were the closest. And so, you know, I don't know if things have changed or if their approach has changed, but if they're still looking to make a deal that way, I still don't see the Mets biting, and I don't know how Gary Matthews Jr. factors into that. But, you know, know, who knows? You know, a lot of times these deals get speculated on, and when they do go down, they're not even in the ballpark of what people talked about. So, you know, if they're interested in Gary Matthews Jr., look, they have pitchers that the Mets could certainly use. They also have a second baseman in LA who I love to have. So, you know, who knows if they can figure something out, but that's the beauty of all this. We'll talk about it, and we'll see what goes down.
All right, thank you once again so much for coming on the show. Matthew Cerrone of MetsBlog.com and SNY. This interview can be found live at portradio.org or on demand. Thanks again. On your way out, who do you take for the NCAA tourney?
Unfortunately, well, I have Duke, and who I cannot stand rooting for, but that's what the bracket picked, so that's what I'm going for. You know, but we'll see how it goes. I'm just not comfortable rooting for Duke, I got to be quite honest. But if it gets me, if it makes me win back it, I'll take it.
Okay, thank you very much.
You got it. Anytime.
All right, bye. That was Matthew Cerrone of MetsBlog.com.